Hello, everyone. A very warm welcome to another exciting episode of Psychology Talks. And today we're going to discuss one of my very favorite topics, that how one can find the purpose in life, how they can find the purpose in the midst of the chaos. A lot of people usually go on living on their lives on an autopilot mode. They don't realize what is their bigger purpose in their life. And sometimes when they have been chasing all these dreams or all these goals in life, which are not theirs, the goals and the dreams have been given by the society. And that's why even you see there are a lot of people who achieve a lot of success in life, but they still feel the emptiness from inside. So that kind of a dissonance when one feels, despite achieving high goals, despite achieving a lot of success in life, they still feel the hollowness from inside. So today we're going to discuss that how you can find your passion, how you can find your purpose in life that gives you fulfillment and a real joy. And that's why I have a privilege of welcoming a visionary, inspirational individual to our podcast, Michael Hansen. Michael is not only a founder and CEO of Growth Genie, but also a seasoned public speaker and insightful host of his podcast. His journey is a beacon of inspiration, reflecting a transformative power that discovering one's purpose can have on life. As we delve into a transformative tale from chaos to purpose, we have the honor of navigating through experiences and insights of a leader who has not only weathered the storm of chaos, but has emerged with a profound sense of purpose. So let's welcome Michael. Hello, Michael.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for joining.
I'm so honored to have you, and thank you for joining us today.
I'm honored to be here as well. Ambreen was on my podcast, The Cosmic Bridge, so it's good to swap and be on yours.
And I thoroughly enjoyed your podcast, and I also watch your other podcasts. Your guests are amazing. So, and thanks to all the audience who are joining and who are sending the comments. Mariah is also there. Hi, Mariah. Thank you for joining from Florida. Karima is there, and she's from Afghanistan. So keep your comments coming in and tell us that where are you from. And if you have any question, please feel free to ask the question, and we can respond to your question in between. Sure. So, Michael, now coming back to you. I've given a very short, a brief introduction that you are the CEO of Growth Genie, you're a podcast host, and you had a transformative life, which our audience are eager to listen. So tell us about your journey, that from where you started, what struggles you faced, and how did you find that purpose in the midst of the chaos?
Yeah, sure. Firstly, I thought I'd say with Growth Genie as a sales training company. So I've been on maybe 100 sales podcasts. And I said to you before that this is my first time being on a psychology podcast. So I feel like a bit of an imposter in this sense, but psychology is something that's helped me a lot in my job. In terms of going back, I've had a few different lives, I guess, in a way. I'm only 34. So I'm not old in that sense, but done a lot of different things. So when I was younger, I was a tennis player, junior tennis player, wanted to be a professional. So from the age of like 7 to 12, I was playing tennis every day. I was in the top five of the country for my age. But tennis, because it's a solo sport, it's not like football where you've got other teammates. It's actually, it was quite hard in a way, because I was traveling around the country. If you lost, it's quite difficult when you're that age. And so anyway, when I was about 13, I retired from tennis, which sounds like ridiculous in a way, right? I've been a 13-year-old, be retiring from tennis. But I think, and that was tough at first, but I think looking back at all these things that happened to me in my life, even in my childhood, they defined me a lot as a person when I'm older. So in tennis, when you're playing at that high standard, you lose a lot. And when you're losing, it's like being rejected, yeah. is what I'm going to talk about with sales. Then when I was older, I was into music. I wanted to be a DJ. So when I was at university, I did a lot of DJing, just kind of on the side, you know, getting some side money. Again, after finishing university, I thought, oh, I'm going to be a professional DJ. That didn't happen. I went into politics. I was actually working on an election in Africa, again, working for the opposition. That we lost the election. So a lot of these things happened to me where I was supposedly like rejected or failed in a way. But I learned a lot through these experiences. And then going to now, I worked for many years in sales and marketing. And 3 years ago, I set up my own sales training company that's been really successful. There's six of us now in the business. But I think with going to kind of today's theme of the podcast and psychology and chaos, with sales, I think is one of the hardest professions. I think in terms of like stress levels, they've done studies apart from maybe like doctors and therapists and a few other things, like sales is one of the toughest professions. And the reason that is because even if you're the best salesperson, 99% of people don't actually need your product. So you're getting rejected most of the time. It's not about you. It's just there's not a need in the market, right? So when you're facing that rejection all day, it can be quite tough. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of anxiety because of that in sales. And there's also a lot of fear. People are fearful when they're in sales of getting rejected all the time. So I got into psychology a lot through that because I realized the biggest battle I'm having in sales is not the customer, is not someone else, it's myself. I've got to look at myself and see how can I deal with this rejection? How can I make my own messaging better? How can I become a better person? And that's where I started getting into psychology and a lot of, you know, the people we've talked about, like Carl Jung. And I just, for me, there was a couple of big takeaways. One, which was only focus on the things you can control and not the things that you can't control. So that was a big thing in sales, right? You can never control the other person. You can only control yourself. And then the other one is detachment, which is the buyer is in control. So you can't attach your self-worth to someone buying your product. You can only do what you can do. So yeah, that's a long-winded answer, but that's kind of a bit of my journey.
I mean, yeah, you actually, your journey is quite interesting from being wishing for or having an ambition to become a tennis star and then moving on to become a DJ and then running a campaign for politicians. So like, you know, it's completely like different from a sports person to the politician and to the like entertainment industry, right? So I would like to ask you that how you switch from one industry to another and what made you select the like leaving one passion and select another one?
Yeah, I think it was all quite organic. And that was the thing. It wasn't everything I kind of fell into, and we're talking about purpose on the podcast, but they became mini purposes, right? Like I started playing tennis and I was very good at it. And then suddenly my parents said, and my brother actually, my parents often with sport, people talk about like pushy parents. My parents were very like liberal. They said, you know, if you want to do tennis, that's great. If not, no worries. But my brother, he's older than me, 10 years old. And he was like, you're so good at tennis. You got to play. He was kind of my trainer. And so I just did it. And then I got to a stage when I was 13 and I didn't enjoy tennis anymore. So again, going to purpose, I didn't feel like tennis was my purpose. Mm-hmm. So I stopped it. And then if we skip to the sales training that I'm doing now, again, I was never in sales as a profession that a lot of people get into without expecting it. And I was never at university thinking I want to work in sales. But after I started working in sales, I thought, oh, this is really interesting because you're building relationships with people. Yeah. And your sales is actually not about selling. It's about helping people. So you should never sell to someone that doesn't need your product, right? That's like unethical. So it's really about selling to people that need your product and it helps them live like more fulfilling life. That's what sales should be about. So I enjoyed that aspect of selling. And also sales is really about communication. So I found through sales, I became a better communicator that helped me in my personal life with my family, with friends, etc. And now we do sales training. That's our purpose. Our mission is to empower salespeople to have better conversations. And we've had lots of salespeople that we trained and they said, oh, this sales training, because it's not just helped me make more sales. it's also helped me have a better communication with my wife or my husband or whoever, which is really interesting. So that's really our purpose at the moment, is to help people be better communicators.
Yeah, that's very interesting, actually. And as you mentioned, that sales is not something that people actually choose personally. I think either they've been forced to this field, or they actually learn that, you know, this is somehow that this is for them. So I would like to, again, go a step back and then ask you that how you got into sales. I know that you mentioned that you just changing different fields, that you mentioned that tennis wasn't very much giving you, tennis wasn't giving you joy, right? So you left it. And I'm sure that you went into music, or being an entertainer, or like, you know, being a DJ or something, which sounds very interesting, right? Playing with the music all day long. But again, it did not actually speak or did not speak to your soul. So I'm sure that you left that. But then there must be some circumstances that actually led you to sales. So maybe if you can share some experiences about that.
Yeah, sure. So after I worked on the political campaign in Africa, I got back to London and I was going to go into politics in the UK. I worked in politics for a few months in the UK, and I thought it's quite hierarchical. I mean, politics in general is like that. And I thought, like with the tennis thing, I always follow my intuition. I said, I don't think this is right for me. I don't think I enjoy this job. Yeah. And then I got more into the tech side of things. And initially I was like an account manager, which is kind of a mixture between customer service and sales, because there is a sales element because you're working on renewals, but you're working with the current customer, you're trying to get new business. And then from there, I ended up going into new business sales, which is proper sales, which is like, we call it going outbound, finding different customers to work with.
Yeah.
But it's also the hardest bit, because that's where you get rejected a lot. But I really liked it because I saw it as a bit of a game. And maybe this is where my tennis comes in, right? Because I was used to tennis of like very like mentally exhausting, you're losing to people all the time. And I just saw sales as a bit of a game. And there are a lot of people that are athletes, right? And there's people I've worked with who literally, like various people who've been in the Olympics, who've like played with Thierry Henry, right? Who, they play with big footballers, and then they go into sales. And so I found it like very much like a game. And I was like, oh, I really like this. I really enjoy it. And then through that, I started posting a lot on LinkedIn, just sharing sales advice that I was learning as I went along.
Yeah.
And then people started reaching out to me, oh, can you teach me? Can you do this? And that's how I ended up starting my company. So it all happened organically, as I said. If someone said to me at university at 19, you're going to work in sales, do sales training, and be really happy doing it, I'd be like, what are you talking about? That's not me. Because I've always been going to, I know you're into like spirituality, I've always been a spiritual person, which is quite rare for someone my age, 34. There's a lot of people in London who are like atheists and all this stuff. I've always believed there's a higher power. And so you've always, you know, there's a quote in the New Testament that says it's harder for a rich man to go to heaven than for a camel to go through the eye of a needle, right? So you don't associate spirituality with like, because you think sales is money, but as I said, sales is not really about money as a byproduct. Sales is actually about helping people achieve a goal, and through that there's an exchange of money, right? Again, a long-winded answer.
Very interesting, actually. Very interesting. And I love your perspective that, you know, sales is not about selling. I mean, that's where a lot of people mistake or confuse between these two things, that sale is all about selling. It's about helping people. It's about adding value to your like customer or to your buyer, you know. It's not about, it's about like you. It's about them finding out that what actually brings some change in their life. So it's very interesting perspective. And I'm sure that this is very different from what other salespeople are doing. So I would actually ask you that, you know, how this spirituality actually, how this helps you, or you, how you marry these two, because, you know, sales and spirituality and psychology. Psychology, yes, a lot of people talk about it, but spirituality is kind of, it's always been separated from sales and, you know, selling things. So how you marry these two concepts?
Yeah. So maybe because I know you and I bonded because we were talking about Carl Jung, right? And that, intersection between spirituality and psychology. Yeah. So maybe I can go to a Carl Jung concept. Okay. So he's got this concept called the collective unconscious, which even though this is a psychology podcast, maybe not everyone knows the term, but it's essentially, you know, Freud has the personal unconscious, which everyone knows, that things that happen to us when we were kids or in our daily lives, they're going to affect us even if we're not aware of them. But Jung took this one step further and said there's a collective unconscious. There's essentially the unconscious of every single person in the world now and even in the whole of history, right?
Yeah.
So essentially why that then relates back to sales is a lot of salespeople have victim mindset, right? So what that means is if they call someone and they're rude, they say, oh, this person's so rude, if you send an email or you don't win the sale, someone's not getting back to you, you blame the other person, you're the victim, right?
Yeah.
Whereas if you're collective unconscious, you're like, that person is part of me, we're connected, and this is a spiritual thing, everyone in the world is connected, we're all connected to God, which is the higher thing that connects all of us, but we're all connected, right? So if I'm then thinking from a collective unconscious, I'm thinking, oh, this person's, why would this person be angry, right? And then put myself in, oh, maybe if I sent that email, I'd be like, I need to improve this. I need to speak to my colleague. I need to speak to someone like them and try to improve. So this is where the spirituality thing comes into play, which is it gives you more accountability as a person because you're suddenly not playing the victim and you're constantly thinking, how can I be better, right? So this is what I see as the top salespeople, they're constantly trying to get better and they're constantly trying to learn and they're not blaming the customer. They're always looking at themselves and thinking, how can I do better? And I think that's a problem, is a lot of salespeople are blaming the customer as thinking, no, what have I done wrong in this situation? So I think that's where, you know, spirituality has helped me a lot.
Yeah, amazing. I mean, I really love the way you explained it. And especially when you brought the element of collective unconscious, which is one of my most favorite topics and my subjects, like, you know, it's actually, I'll go back to what you said in the beginning that, you know, if someone would have told you when you were 19 that you would be in sales, you would not have believed that person. And I think that's exactly how we are meant to choose our destiny. Like, you know, when you realize your purpose, then you start connecting with the people who actually help you take you to a goal, right? So I think all those things that maybe were giving you the displeasure, right? That when you were in tennis and when you were in music or you were in in politics, right? So all of this kind of confusion that was created in your mind were actually preparing you to realize your purpose. And that was your goal. I think that was exactly what you do, is when you realize your purpose, that, okay, these are not something, these are not your passion. So it takes a courage. I'm sure it takes a courage, because leaving something which you have already spent a lot of time and effort, and when you have actually realized that this could be your next goal, it required a lot of courage. Not everyone is willing to leave that. For example, you were doing really good at tennis, but it is just because it is not giving you joy or a pleasure, then you actually left that. But whereas a lot of people, I think, miss that point, is that they keep on going in the same direction where they even feel from deep down, they feel that this is not for them. And that is how they are killing their soul and they're killing their passion and following blindly. So I think that is one thing which I believe our audience will take one message, that, you know, they need to listen to their heart. They need to listen to the soul, that if something is not giving you fulfillment or satisfaction, that is an indication that they need to follow something else. And that's what exactly your journey is about, that the way you change these fields is a testament, right? That you are meant for something bigger. And look at you right now, what you're doing is like helping people. and helping them change the mindset, especially in the sales. So that's really, you're doing amazing work. And I really love the way you actually changing the perception of sales and adding the angle of spirituality. So that's really amazing. So now coming back to the sales part, right? This is the hardest part. A lot of people think that, as you mentioned, that it's all about selling products. And I think that is where the confusion comes in. So what is the main problem you think that or people bring to you that, you know, in sales, which you feel that you can help them to improvise them to gain or to expand their business?
Yeah, I'll probably say two things, one of which I've already discussed, which is like there's a victim mindset, but there's also like a fear mindset in sales. So I think a lot of people hold themselves back with fear, right? Because I think to be a really good salesperson, one of the biggest things is being different from everyone else. Because if you're any type of like buyer, we work more with B2B salespeople, which is essentially people that are selling to businesses versus individuals. And the decision makers at businesses, the directors, the vice presidents, the CEOs, they get hundreds of sales pitches a week from lots of different people, right? And 95% of them are very similar. So you want to be in the 5% or 1% even of people that are standing out and doing something different, right? But sometimes to do that is scary, right? So I think the most convoluted, busy channel is email. People get hundreds of emails, but most salespeople, what do? They just send emails, right? Because it's easy. Right. Because when you send an email, you don't see how the other person reacts. And so they never call people. Right. So calling is human. It's the most human thing apart from being in person with someone. So actually like calling people still works really well because it's human. You can have a conversation, but people are scared to call because you can hear the person's emotion. You can. It's a lot more real. Right. Then doing things that are different, right? So maybe like sending a voice note is something that we see works really well, like sending someone a voice note on LinkedIn. And they're like, oh, I didn't know that exists. Or sending a video. You can send people a video. Or I'm scared to send a video. So people are scared to do something different. So a lot of fear holds back salespeople. And then the other thing is sometimes there's what we call in sales objections, which are fair objections, right? I'm not interested, or I'm using this product, I don't need yours. But some of them is like, oh, this is interesting, but maybe contact me in 3 months. Someone who's brave may have a conversation and say, hey, you mentioned 3 months, tell me what you're going to be doing in the next 3 months, right?
Yeah.
But that requires some to be brave and to not not be scared, right? So that's one thing is fear. That's very much on the mindset. The other thing is salespeople, and this is normal, like all of us, we've all got ego, right?
Yeah.
And when it comes to ego and sales, it's thinking about my commission, my paycheck, my targets. Because the reason why sales is a stressful job is people have got targets that they're trying to meet. So when you've got those targets, like I need to hit my target, it's like the 25th, and by the 30th, I'm only at 50%. I need to be at 100%. And you're trying to push the customer. And that's where you get this sleazy salesperson reputation as a statistic. Only 18% of people trust, only 18% of buyers trust salespeople. So it shows you that we're not a trusted profession, right?
Yeah.
And it's because salespeople are always talking about themselves. We ask, this is what we do. So the mindset shift we say with salespeople is try to use the word you and your as much as possible, because it's going to force you to talk about the other person. So that's a big thing we work on, is make the customer the hero of the story. You and your product is not the hero. The customer is a hero of the story. So those are two big things that we work on.
Yeah, and that's amazing. I mean, literally, I actually take two very important points that you shared here, that, you know, a lot of people are scared to actually go and meet in person. Like, you know, as you mentioned even earlier, that, you know, they're afraid of rejection, and that I think that is holding them back to develop a meaningful connection. And and like, I think that's why most of the people are very easily try to be at the back stage, and they're trying to be on the, like, you know, behind the scenes. They're working behind the scenes, so they don't have to face the rejection themselves. So this is one thing. And the other thing is the ego. Ego is something that we need to always, be aware of our own ego. And then we should know that how do we actually control it? It's sometimes if it's inflated, that's also bad. And if it's sometimes like not there, or you are not able to, you have a right balance, then it's gonna have, it's creates like basically if anything, if it's not in balance, it's then it's gonna create some insecurities, right? And that's where the main equation goes disbalanced. Like, you know, when people are afraid to go there and then they're afraid to develop a connection, they actually feel more insecure, right? And then that's when the ego comes in and they said, okay, no, I think it's better to hold back. So I think that's one thing, two things that you mentioned, that they need to overcome their fear, and they need to realize, and they need to be aware of their ego, that how to balance the equation. So that's wonderful. That's really wonderful. So now, like moving on to this, that, you know, like you have developed this kind of the company with that, and it requires again more learning, more like evolving over the period of time. So how would you recommend like the people then doing this? Because, you know, sales is, again, is you have to find out that what's going on in the market, but then how do you think that it's going to evolve as, like, especially the I would rephrase the question in a better way, that especially now the technology is coming in, and I see the lot of things, like a lot of people are taking help of AI, right?
Yeah.
Which is, again, it's kind of putting them a step back, like, you know, sending email, automated email, right? Which again takes, as you mentioned, the personal touch, the human touch.
Yeah.
So how do you recommend that, like, one should evolve through technology and not losing the human touch?
Yeah. So we've got a sales framework called Cosmic. And so the podcast I have where you were a guest on it isn't actually about sales. It's kind of more about balance. And the big thing is the balance between the spiritual and the material, right? Yeah. And how that then influences sales is sometimes people look at the buyers they have and they see them like robots. They're like, this person is an accountant, so all he's interested is in numbers. But every person is human. Even if you're selling to an accountant or a chief financial officer, they're humans, right? Who've got families and emotions and all these things. Yeah. So we when we're looking at our buyers, we're not just doing analysis. These are material things are important, of course, to accountants, you know, profit, revenue, all these things are important. But the other thing that's important are the emotions, right? So there's a really old school sales trainer called Zig Ziglar, and he said people buy based on emotions and they justify with logic. So we're always looking into that. So say we sell to someone in marketing, we say, oh, you know, the sales team don't appreciate you. They think you just make fluffy content, right? Mm-hmm. And that's a big pain that we know about because we speak to marketing leaders a lot. So we're trying to appeal to people's emotions. And as you said, because of AI, ChatGPT, all these things that are coming up now, there's a lack of emotion. And I said they treat buyers like robots. Not only are they treating buyers like robots, they're robots themselves. So obviously, kind of going back to Carl Jung, he's got this idea of individuation, which all of us have this kind of divine purpose that we're going to have in our lives. But a lot of people aren't acting like that. They're just like, I need to read off the script that the company has given me. It's like, no, you don't. You need to put your own personality into it. That's really important as well, to be you. And like we were talking about earlier, my journey, like, tennis helped me a lot with discipline, right? And discipline is really important in sales because sales is a balance between quantity. Sales is a numbers game. You're going to be rejected by most people. You've got to reach a certain amount of people, but it's also a quality game, which is where the human element comes in. So if you can have that discipline and then have that human element at the same time, you're going to be a really successful salesperson.
Yeah, that's amazing, actually. Especially using AI or not to... using AI to empower ourselves instead of, you know, just using it for the sake of automation. Because as you said, that people are using it without using their intelligence. So when you are not using your own intelligence, it will not give you a proper result. It will always create a robotic response, right? For example, if like I receive lots of like sales pitch in my inbox, which actually bothers me a lot, and I'm sure whoever receives it, which who is not relevant, will definitely get really frustrated, annoyed, and you know, say like why they are actually sending me this pitch, which I'm not where I'm not even related, and more. I mean, even the worst case is that even if you try to make a conversation, they don't know anything about it. So I think that's using these I would say strategies without using your brain will actually lead you nowhere and will actually cause more trouble than any gains. So that's one thing that people whoever is listening, either through live or through recorded session, that whatever is going on in the market, like either it's an AI or a new trend, you need to adopt it as per your own personality, as per your own business, and as per your vision. Even like as you said, that like sales is not just about selling, it's about helping people. So just sending random emails or making some cold calls without knowing the purpose, without knowing that person, will always it will be, I would say, that you know, shot in the dark. Sometimes it will hit the right spot, but not all the time. So they need to do more.
I was just gonna say. So like, this is a good example. So have you call someone nowadays, 30 years ago, it would be a cold call because it would be a number on a piece of paper. Yeah. Whereas now with the internet, you can make a cold call a warm call because I could call you and I could say, Heron Breen, we've not spoken before, but I just listened to the episode you did with Michael Hansen on sales and psychology and I found it really interesting. And you'd be like, oh, right, thanks, because that person has taken time to listen to you and understand you, right? Versus most people would be like, hey, you've got a podcast, can we promote it? You know, pay us for marketing services, etc. Right. So it's just, if someone cares and they've done research on you, obviously you're going to listen to them.
And here comes again the part of AI, for example. Now it is meant to empower. So like, there are lots of ways they can search through AI, which is relevant to them. For example, if they are finding out the podcast people, to promote their business, so they can actually design their response in a way. They can do a lot of research through AI, which can help them add their human touch instead of just going through the script which they have followed for, which is written for hundreds of people. So I agree. So I mean, I know this is a very interesting topic, especially when we talk about spirituality, and then this your concept is very unique actually. I really love the way you actually added spirituality in sales, because a lot of people take it like two separate things. They think that spirituality has nothing to do with sales. A lot of people do talk about psychology. Yes, that, as you mentioned, that people need to be aware of their mindset and they need to know that how to control. But especially the spirituality part, that, you know, we are all connected. We have our divine purpose. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we are all part of like one, like, as you said, collective unconsciousness, right? The one group. We are just part. We are connected with each other. And excuse me. And we can be connected better if our intentions are there to connect as a human person, not as someone who's selling or who's pitching. So that's amazing.
100%.
Yeah. So what, before actually we close this show, what one advice would you give to our audience today?
I think, so maybe I'll talk about fear, because that's something I've talked about in Concept of Sales, but fear is something we're all going to feel on a daily basis. There's a really good book, I don't know if you've read it, Amber, called Letting Go by David Hawkins. And he talks about, you have all these emotions, and we have a whole module in sales called selling with less ego, right? Which is all about, as you said, how you control your ego, right? Yeah. And we have these emotions, fear, anxiety, resentment, etc. Now, the thing he says is not to try and fight them. So if you're feeling fear, don't say, oh, why am I feeling fear? And you almost feel guilt for feeling fear. So it's more to accept it. And that was a really big transformational thing for me, because when I feel, and I still get scared now in sales, even though we train salespeople by doing it for a long time, I've got like a big renewal coming up and I'm going to call the person and I get anxious, right? And I'm like, where is that fear coming from? And it's obviously attachment to the person, but maybe it's, I'm not prepared. So then it's using the fear. Okay, how can I be more prepared for this call? Yeah. Okay, I do 15 minutes more work. Okay, now I'm prepared. I'm going to call this person. So it's using that fear in a positive way. So what I would say to people is, don't let fear stop you from doing the action, but let it make you do the action better and be more prepared. So it's all about how you transform that. And as I said, David Hawkins, Letting Go, that's a really good book that I'd recommend people read on the subject.
Yeah, I love that advice, especially like, you know, using fear to propel us to achieve our goal. This is amazing, because a lot of people actually feel fear and then they step back. And they said, okay, that, you know, we need to do something else. But, you know, it's when you use the energy of fear in a positive way, which can actually motivate you or prepare you to achieve your goal, is an amazing strategy. So thank you so much for sharing these amazing insights and valuable knowledge, which can directly be associated with how they can be better at sales, and more interestingly, they can be better as a human being. Because I think that when we become better human, we become better at every aspect of life. So
sure.
So how our audience, like whoever like is listening, either at the live session or in the recorded session, how they can reach out to you? What's the best way?
Yeah, probably the place I'm most active in terms of social media is LinkedIn. That's how we met. So if you just search Michael Hansen, Growth Genie on LinkedIn, I'll come up and I post almost daily content there. And you're also welcome to email me. My email address is mhansen@growthgenie.co. And then, of course, shameless plug, listen to the podcast. It's called The Cosmic Bridge. And you can, that's on all podcast platforms.
Amazing. That's amazing. I think I have already shared all your links in the comments. And when I also share this on the podcast channel, I'll share all the links. So thank you so much for joining us today and sharing your valuable insights. I thoroughly enjoyed it. And I love the advice that you give. And especially, I really like the idea of your sales and spirituality. It is a very unique concept. And I'm sure our audience have learned a lot from you, and whoever is joined from the audience, thank you so much for joining and sharing your comments and to make this conversation more lively. So thank you so much and have a great day.
Thanks, everyone. Cheers.